कृपात परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत इस डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्ट प्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 2 Remembrance of Lord Krishna. The last two verses, text 33 and 34. I will read 33 myself and then we will read 34 together. There is no purport to 33. Varshatindre vrajakopad bhagnamane tivihvalaha गोत्रलीलातपत्रेण त्रातो भद्रानुगृह्णता। ओ सोबर विदुरा, किंग इंद्र, हिज ऑनर हैविंग बीन इंसल्टेड, पोर्ड वाटर इनसेसेंटली ऑन वृंदावन, एंड दस द इनहैबिटेंट्स ऑफ व्रज, द लैंड ऑफ काउज, वर ग्रेटली डिस्ट्रेस्ड, बट द कंपैशनेट लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेव्ड देम फ्रॉम डेंजर with his pastime umbrella, the Govardhan Hill. Text 34. Sharat Shashi Karaihi Mrishtam Manayan Rajani Mukham Gayan Kalapadam रेमे स्त्रीणां मंडल मंडनः। शरद शशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनीमुखम् गायन् कलपदं रेमे स्त्रीणा मंडल मंडनः। शरद शशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनीमुखम् गायन् कलपदं रेमे स्त्रीणा मंडल मंडनः। शरद शशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रेमे स्त्रीणां मण्डलमण्डनः जनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे श्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः शरच्छशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे श्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः शरच्छशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे स्त्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे श्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः शरच्छशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे स्त्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः करैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे स्त्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः मतजीस् प्लीज् शरच्छशिकरैर्मृष्टम् मानयन् रजनी मुखम् गायन् कलपदं रे मे स्त्रीणा मण्डलमण्डनः शरत् ऑटम् शशि ऑफ द मून करैः By the shining, mrishtam, brightened, manayan, thinking so, rajani mukham, the face of the night, gayan, singing, kalapadam, pleasing songs, reme, enjoyed, strinam, of the women, Mandala Mandanaha, as the central beauty of the assembly of women. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by the moonshine. Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's a very short purport, only three lines. Before leaving the land of cows, Vrindavan, the Lord pleased his young girlfriends, the transcendental gopis, in his Rasa Leela pastimes. Here, Uddhava stopped his description of the Lord's activities. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishaye Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna So Uddhav in this most Nectarian series of verses describing Krishna's Vrindavan Leela has reached the culmination, the pinnacle of his descriptions by now very briefly describing in the last verse, that's the verse we have up on the board, Krishna's transcendental pastimes with the gopis. In verse 33 we have seen a continuation of what was described in text 32 about Krishna's lifting of the Govardhan hill. And both these subject matters are so vast, we cannot possibly touch upon both of them in one class. So we will discuss essentially the verse that is put up here on the board, because Govardhan Leela was discussed yesterday also. So Krishna's Rasa Leela, as we all know, is the crest jewel of his pastimes. He has unlimited transcendental pastimes, and the Rasa Leela is considered to be the supreme amongst them. And the situation has come about in Vrindavan at the stage that Uddhava is describing to Vidur, that everything is just suitable, is just right for Krishna to perform his Rasa Leela pastimes. Krishna's energies have arranged everything just wonderfully so as to facilitate Krishna's Leela. The verse today begins with a description of the seasons. Sharat Shashi Karair Mrishtam. Sharat. So it's the Sharat season, and in the translation Srila Prabhupada says, in the third season of the year. According to the Vedic system, there are six seasons, starting with summer, which is Grishma, then there is a monsoon, which is Varsha, and then there is autumn, which is Sharad, followed by winter, which is Hemant, then there is deep winter, or the dewy season, called Shishir, that is followed by the spring season, called Vasant, and then again we have the Grishma, the summer season. So these six seasons move along, and amongst these six seasons, the Vasant Ritu and the Sharad Ritu, spring and autumn, are considered the most charming. And even amongst these two, the autumn season is considered the most charming. In Vrindavan, by Krishna's energies, his spiritual potencies, Vrindavan becomes so beautiful in this season. The flowers are blooming and they're extremely fragrant. They're everywhere, so many different colors. Breezes are very fragrant, very pleasant. They carry the fragrance of all the flowers. The waters of the waterfalls and the rivers and the ponds are very clean, clear, soothing, cool. The birds are chirping very nicely, the bees are humming very nicely. And everything is exquisitely wonderful in Vrindavan, especially in autumn. When Krishna looks at Vrindavan, especially in the autumn season, when everything is, Krishna's natural opulences have flowered to such an extent, Krishna himself becomes very attracted. He becomes so attracted that he becomes almost bewildered to see the beauty of his own abode. So we can well imagine that if Krishna, who is the all-attractive Supreme Personality, is so attracted by his own abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham, then what to speak of the ordinary living entities? It is our fortune we have the opportunity to reside in Vrindavan, but the real Vrindavan is hard to see. What we see externally is the Mayik Vrindavan, the Maya covering of Vrindavan. But the real Vrindavan is hard to perceive unless the heart is really purified and we see with the eyes of love, of pure love. So in this way, Krishna now sees that everything is right. He feels impelled by the situation around him, the seasons, the atmosphere, the natural beauty and everything. Now he feels inspired to perform his Rasalila pastimes. Some of Krishna's most important and beautiful pastimes and the descriptions of the Srimad Bhagavatam are set in the autumn season. The Venu Geet, for example, when the gopis glorify Krishna's flute song in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, is set in the autumn season. The flute song of Krishna is considered to be the real ornament of the autumn season. There are so many ornaments in autumn in Vrindavan, the natural beauty being one of them. But the actual ornament of Vrindavan in autumn is the flute song of Krishna. And then from chapters 29 to 33 in the 10th canto also, there is the description of the Rasa Leela of Krishna with the gopis. So these five chapters are the very celebrated chapters known as Rasa Panchadhyaya. Pancha means five, Adhyaya means chapters. So the five chapters that deal with the Rasa Leela. So these five chapters are also set in the autumn season. So now Krishna is now ready. He feels impelled by the situation to perform his Rasa Leela pastimes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna was just about 8 years old at this time when he performed the Rasa Leela. He was in the peak of his Kaishora age. Krishna grows when he appears in this material world. Just as an ordinary child would grow, he appears to be born. He appears to go through the motions of being in the Kaumara age, childhood. He grows up into the Pauganda age, the age of boyhood. And he matures into the age of adolescence, Kaishora. When his Kaishora age is over, the period of adolescence or pre-youth, then Krishna stops growing. At least to the external vision. Because that is Krishna's eternal age in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. So Krishna grows or appears to grow up to this point, and then he remains like this always. And Brahmaji also describes in his Brahma Samhita prayers, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayauvanam Cha. Adyam Purana Purusham. He is the most ancient person. Purana Purusham. And yet, he is Nava Yauvanam Cha. He has the beauty of a fresh blooming youth. He is in pre-youth, just the age just prior to youth. In this way, Krishna finds the age of Kaishor just right for performing his Rasa Leela pastimes. Actually, Srila Rupa Goswami describes, Kaishoram safali karoti kalayan kunje viharam harihi. this Kaishora age, in this Kaishora age, Krishna safali karoti. He makes the perfection of his youth as kunje viharam, as the leelas or the pastimes in the forests of Vrindavan, particularly his rasa-leela pastime. So the perfection of Krishna is his Kaishora form. And the perfection of the Kaishora is that Krishna performs these pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan along with the gopis in the banks of the Yamuna. So this Kaishora age is the perfection, because Krishna is the sweetest at this phase in his life. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami describes that all of Krishna's endeavors in this period of his age are bent towards two activities. One is the killing of asuras, and the second is the rasa-leela pastimes. Therefore, it is not surprising that this rasa-leela is considered the topmost of all his pastimes. It is described here in this verse, Gayan Kalapadam Reme. That Krishna was singing his wonderful songs here, pleasing songs in the autumn night brightened by the moonshine. Krishna's songs are of different kinds. He sings by the medium of his flute. It is described by various acharyas of the kinds of flute songs that Krishna was playing. Variety of flute songs. This is a topic in itself. And especially in autumn, he plays a rag which is just suitable for autumn, which is very slow, called the Mallava Shri. And this rag blends into the natural music of Vrindavan. The rustling of the leaves, the flowing of the waters, the buzzing of the bees, the chirping of the birds, and it creates a grand symphony, a transcendental symphony that pleases everyone. And Krishna with his flute plays many other wonderful melodies and notes and tunes which charm and bewilder even the residents of the higher planets. And especially the gopis of Vrindavan are the greatest victims of the flute song of Krishna. But also Krishna actually sings with his lotus mouth. Not just that he plays the flute and sings, but he also personally sings. And this has been described by Srila Shukadev Goswami wonderfully in the 10th canto in chapter 29, which is entitled Krishna and the Gopis Meet. Also, we see here a description in today's verse of how Krishna is Mandala Mandanaha, the central beauty of the assembly of women. So, in this 29th chapter and these verses, Shukadev Goswami is going to describe both these things, how Krishna is a central attraction in the mandala, the circle of all the gopis, and also how he sings so beautifully.
Tābhi sametābhirudāra-cheṣṭitah priyekṣaṇotfullamukhi-bhirachyutah udārahāsa-dvijakunda-dīdhatīr vyarocitānaiṅka-ivodubhivṛtah.
Among the assembled gopis, the infallible Lord Krishna appeared just like the moon surrounded by the stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made their faces blossom with his affectionate glances, and his broad smiles revealed the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. So Krishna has been described here very beautifully as one who is like a moon surrounded by the stars. The gopis are like the stars, and Krishna is like the moon. Sometimes in the night when you look up and you see the moon and all the stars around it, it makes for a very beautiful vision. Similarly here, the moon of Krishna was surrounded by the stars of the gopis, And it was a very, very attractive sight. Mandala Mandanaha. And then Shukadev Goswami goes on to explain the singing of Krishna.
Upagiyamana Udgayan Vanita Shatayutapaha Malam Bibhrat Vajayanti Vyacharan Mandayan Vanam.
Upagiyamanaha, being sung about. In other words, Krishna was being sung about by the gopis. Udgayan, Krishna himself was also singing very loudly. Vanita Shatayutapaha, Krishna has been described as a youthapaha. Youth means a group. Youthapa means the leader. Vanita shata. Vanita means ladies. Here specifically referring to the gopis. Shata means hundreds of. So Krishna, who was the leader of the hundreds of gopis, like a moon surrounded by the stars, was himself singing. And the gopis were also singing. Vyacharan mandayan vanam. And in this way, he moved amongst them, wearing his famous Vaijayanti garland, and he thus beautified the entire Vrindavan forest. In this way, Krishna has been described most wonderfully as being seated or being moving amongst all the gopis in Vrindavan. Srila Jiva Goswami says that Lord Krishna sang many, many wonderful melodies and meters. He actually sang with his lotus mouth, and the gopis also followed after him. And he quotes from the Vishnu Puran, one shloka, which talks about what they were singing about. What was Krishna singing about, and what were the gopis singing about?
Krishna Sharat Chandramasam Kaumudim Kumdakaram Jagau Gopi Janastvekam Krishna nama punaha punaha.
Krishna. So Krishna was singing about what? Sharat Chandramasam, the glories of the autumn moon. Kaumudim Kumudakaram, he was also singing about the moonshine and about the lotus filled river. So Krishna was describing and glorifying Vrindavan and also the natural beauties of his own creation like the moon. And what were the gopis singing about? Jagau gopi janastvekam Krishna nama punaha punaha. They were simply chanting Krishna's name repeatedly, again and again. So Krishna, of course, wasn't chanting his own name. So what could Krishna sing about? So he was singing about his dham, about his abode, and about his creation. And the gopis were singing Krishna's names. So therefore here in today's verse, we see Gayan Kalapadam Re Me, that Krishna was singing pleasing songs. So here we find a description of what those pleasing songs were. In the Nectar of Devotion also it is explained that in the Kaishora age, Krishna has three very special features which are very, very attractive. One is his mild smiling. The second are his restless eyes. And the third is his world-enchanting songs. Krishna sings at every stage of his life. Even when as a small boy, he would go out into the forest with his cowherd boys and frolic and play and dance, he would also sing. Sometimes they would sing like the cuckoos. They would imitate the cuckoos singing. Sometimes they would sing like the frogs, and sometimes they would sing naturally just like human beings do, and they would appreciate each other's singing and musical abilities. They would dance, and Krishna would sing, the gopas would dance. Sometimes the gopa boys would sing and Krishna would dance. So in this way, Krishna was singing right from the beginning. But his singing in Kaishora is especially sweet. Krishna's singing abilities seem to reach a perfection in his Kaishora age. And therefore it says here, Gayan kalapadam reme, that he was enjoying this singing. So the Kaishor age is the age when Krishna enjoys the Rasalila pastime, because everything is just suitable. Krishna's age is just right, Kaishor. The abode is just right, Vrindavan. The location is just right, the banks of the Yamuna and the forests. The devotees are just right, the gopis. The season is just right, Sharad. The time of the day or night is just right. It is the night time and the moonshine is there. It's a full moon night. So in every respect, everything is just right. There is a small conversation which I would like to narrate from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a conversation that took place between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a great devotee of his called Raghupati Upadhyay. This conversation appears in the Madhya Leela, chapter 19. It took place in Prayag when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Srila Rupa Goswami. Raghupati Upadhyay was from Tiruhita district and he arrived in Prayag. He heard that Mahaprabhu was there, and being himself a great devotee of Krishna, he came forward to see Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was very happy to see him. When Raghupati Upadhyay offered Mahaprabhu his dandavat pranams, his respects, Mahaprabhu blessed him by saying, Krishna Matirastu, that may you always remain in Krishna consciousness. So by this statement, Mahaprabhu has indicated to us what the perfect blessing is. The perfect blessing is not that we should live for a long time, Chiranjeevi Bhava, or it's not that we should get a lot of wealth or something like that. But the perfect blessing that we can hope to receive is that we can always remain in Krishna consciousness. Krishna Mati Rahu. That was that Mahaprabhu's words to Raghupati Upadhyay. And then Raghupati Upadhyay was very pleased to hear this blessing that he received. And Mahaprabhu asked him to speak about Krishna. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes as follows. Nijakrita Krishna Lila Shloka Padila Shuni Mahaprabhur Mahaprema Vesha Hoila. Nijakrita Krishna Lila Shloka Padila. Raghupati Upadhyay spoke the verses that he himself had composed on Krishna Lila. Shuni Mahaprabhur Mahaprema Vesha Hoila. So when Mahaprabhu heard these verses, he became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He recited this famous verse then, Shrutim apare smritim itare bharatam anye bhajantu bhavabhitah aham ihanandam vande yasyalinde param brahma. Wherein Raghupati Upadhyay says that some people worship the Shrutis, the Upanishads, the Vedanta and so on. There are others who worship the Smritis like the Puranas and so on. Some, Anye, worship the Mahabharata. Bhajantu, let them worship, Raghupati Upadhyay says. Because they are worshipping Bhavabhitaha, out of fear of material existence. But I do not care for such worship. I worship Maharaj Nanda, in whose courtyard Krishna crawled as an ordinary child. Aham iha nandam vande yasya alinde param brahma. So although Krishna is param brahma, but he was crawling like an ordinary child in the courtyard of Maharaj Nanda. Therefore Nanda is my worshipable personality. And then he goes on, after Mahaprabhu was pleased, to recite more verses. Kam prati kathaitum ishe sam prati kova pratitim ayatu gopati tanaya kunje gopavadhuti vitam brahma. To whom shall I speak who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of the river Yamuna. In this way, the Lord demonstrates his pastimes.
Prabhu kohena kohita ho pode Krishna lila prema vesha prabhu deho mana ayu yaila.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Raghupati Upadhyay to continue speaking about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus the Lord was absorbed in ecstatic love and his mind and body slackened.
Prema dekhi upadhyera hoilo chamatkar manushya nahi iho Krishna korilo nirdhar.
When Raghupati Upadhyay saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, he decided that the Lord was not a human being but Krishna himself. And now we have this wonderful celebrated conversation now. Please hear attentively.
Prabhu kohe upadhyaya shreshtamano kai shamam eva param rupam kohe upadhyay.
Prabhu kahe. Mahaprabhu says, Upadhyay, my dear Upadhyay, shreshtamano kai. Whom do you consider to be the foremost being in all of creation?
Shamam eva param rupam kahe upadhyay.
So Upadhyay replied that Shyam Sundar, Lord Shyam, is the supreme form.
Shyam rupair vasasthana shreshtamano kai puri madhupuri vara kahe upadhyay.
My dear Upadhyay, what is the foremost residential place of this Shyam Sundar whom you talk about?
Shyam Rupair Vasasthana Shreshthamanakai.
Shreshtha means the best. Vasasthan means the residence. So which is the topmost residence of this Shyam Rup or Raghupati Upadhyay? Please tell me.
Puri Madhupuri Vara Kahe Upadhyay.
That town which is called Madhupuri or Mathura Mandal or Vrajabhumi is the topmost residential place of Shyam Rup. So Raghupati Upadhyay answered. The third question then Mahaprabhu asked.
Balya Pauganda Kaishora Shreshthamano Kai Vaiha Kaishora Kam Dhyayam Kohi Upadhyay.
Of the three ages, Balya, that is childhood, Pauganda, that is boyhood, and Kaishora, that is fresh youth or adolescence, which do you consider is the best, my dear Raghupati Upadhyay? And Raghupati Upadhyay replies,
Vayaha Kaishorakam Dhyayam.
Vayaha means the age. Dhyayam means worshipable. Kaishorakam is adolescence. So of all the three ages, my dear Lord, the Kaishora age is the topmost, Shreshtha. It is worshipable. Mahaprabhu continues to ask the questions. Fourth question.
Rasagana madhye tumi shreshtamano kai adya eva paro rasah kahe upadhyay.
Rasagana madhye, amongst all the rasas or the mellows, shreshtamano kai, which do you think is the topmost of the rasas, the mellows? And Upadhyay replies,
adya eva paro rasah.
Amongst all the rasas, the paraha, the supreme, is the adya rasa, or the madhurya rasa, the shringar rasa, the conjugal mellow. This is the topmost, is the supermost. So, Mahaprabhu was extremely happy to hear.
Prabhu kohe bhalo tattva shikhaila more, ato boli shloka pade gad gad swore.
So Mahaprabhu then said, Bhalo tattva shikhaila more. You have taught me some very wonderful first class conclusions of Siddhanta. And having said this, Mahaprabhu began to recite all the answers that Raghupati Upadhyay had given as one shloka. Because all his four answers, his first answer was Shyamam eva param rupam. His second was Puri Madhupuri Vara. His third was Vayah Kaishorakam Dhyayam. And the last one was Adya Eva Paro Rasaha. So Mahaprabhu combined these four answers and made it into one verse.
Shyamameva param rupam puri madhupuri vara vayah kaishorakam dheyam adya eva paro rasaha.
The form of Shyamasundar is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon, and the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow.
Prema veshe prabhutare koilo alingan, prema matta hona teho kore na nartan.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Raghupati Upadhyay in ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyay also was overwhelmed by love and he began to dance. So in this way, through the mouth of Raghupati Upadhyay, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the highest truths of Krishna consciousness. And all these we see are existing here in this one verse. Shyamam eva param rupam, Lord Shyamasundar is here. Vayah kaishorakam dhyeyam, Krishna has now reached his Kaishora age. Puri Madhupuri Vara, he is in Vrajadham here. And he is here with the gopis, Adya Eva Parovrasaha. He is enjoying his pastimes in the conjugal mood, the mood of Shringar. So this one verse is therefore the pinnacle of Uddhava's descriptions because it contains all these four perfections. The perfect abode, the perfect age, the perfect mellow, and the perfect setting, the perfect form of Krishna. So here we find this description. Although the purport is very small, but the verse itself is very sweet. And Krishna especially looks even more beautiful in the full moon night, brightened by the moonshine, manayan rajani mukham. In the face of the moonlight, Krishna's beauty is even more enhanced. The Vaishnava Acharyas explain that because Krishna appears in the lunar dynasty, the Somvansha, the dynasty of the moon, therefore the moon cooperates very nicely in Krishna's pastimes. So therefore, even when sometimes it is not supposed to be a full moon night, it becomes full moon, just so that Krishna's pastimes may be facilitated. Prabhupada mentions here that the transcendental gopis. The gopis are of course not ordinary living beings. The gopis are all transcendental. There are two categories of gopis, the Nitya Siddha gopis, who are eternal associates of Lord Krishna, who have descended from Goloka Vrindavan to accompany him in his pastimes here in Bhauma Vrindavan. And there are also the Sadhana Siddha gopis, who are of various categories, who in their previous lives performed bhajan of Lord Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan for a long, long time. They attained very elevated stages. They performed raganuga bhajan. They performed bhajan in the footsteps of the gopis, the Nityasiddha gopis of Vrindavan. And therefore they also achieved this position as gopis in Vrindavan. It is described that the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan is very unique, and that is called raga. Rag means intense attachment, and this intense attachment is characterized by intense absorption in thoughts of Krishna. The mind can never be taken away from Krishna. Ecstatic absorption. It is also called ragatmika bhakti or rag bhakti. This is the peculiar, unique feature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And those exalted souls who follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, they are called raganuga bhaktas. Raga, anuga. Anuga means those who follow. Anu means that which comes later, or that which is inferior. Anuja, for example, is one who is born after the younger brother. So Krishna is Rama Anuja. Ram is Balaram, Anuja means younger brother. So Krishna is called Rama Anuja because he is the younger brother of Balaram. Or sometimes Lakshman is also called Rama Anuja because he is the younger brother of Ram. So Anu, the word Anu here. And Ga means to go. So Anu Gaman means to go behind, to follow in the footsteps. So Raga Anuga. So Raga Anuga means that kind of devotional service that is practiced by exalted devotees, following the footsteps of those devotees who actually practice the Raga Bhajan. That's the residence of Vrindavan. So all these different great devotees in previous lives perform this Raga Anuga Bhajan. They perform the devotional service to Krishna in the mood of these gopis of Vrindavan. But they were not 100% perfect in their bhajan yet. They were almost there, but not quite. So they were given a chance in this appearance of Krishna in Bhauma Vrindavan to participate in the Braja Leela as gopis. And therefore they participated, they associated with the Nitya Siddha gopis of Krishna, and they were trained by them in their association, and they became fully purified, and then they also entered into the eternal pastimes of Krishna. So therefore these gopis are not ordinary living entities, and therefore the relationship between Krishna and the gopis is also not ordinary. The people in this world sometimes they are fascinated by relationships between men and women, and they pray to the Lord sometimes to facilitate their relationships. And they are sometimes shocked that actually it is the Lord Himself who engages in such loving affairs or loving pastimes with His own transcendental senses. So Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in this rasa is not ordinary. It is completely transcendental, as is mentioned here in the purport, because the gopis themselves are also transcendental. Krishna's dealings with the gopis, it is explained, Prabhupada says in one purport, is like Krishna is like a child playing with his reflection. Because everything is Krishna's energy, nothing is separate from Krishna. So Krishna is enjoying his own internal potencies in various ways. And thus there is nothing objectionable in this. We cannot impose the mundane morality of this world upon Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's pastimes that are being talked about here by Uddhava in this verse represent the highest perfection of Krishna's activities, and therefore they are worshipable for all of us. And now Uddhava, having reached this culmination in the description of Vrindavan Leela, comes to a halt, and then in the next chapter we will see Uddhava moving on to describing Krishna's pastimes in Mathura. So thank you very much. We will stop here. Are there any questions or comments? What was the age of the gopis when they were dancing with Krishna in the Rasalila? They were also very young. And Krishna was about 8 years old. And some of the gopis were, of course, a little younger, about the same age. Kishore, they were Kishoris. So Kishore Kishori is Krishna and Radharani. Any other comments, questions? You can speak in the mic.
You're saying that most people can see only Mike Vrindavan, not real Vrindavan. So is that means that we also reciting in not real Vrindavan but Mike Vrindavan?
It's a question of our consciousness. Real Vrindavan is not merely a physical location, a geographical location. As Prabhupada has explained many times, it is a state of consciousness. At the same time, There is special merit to be earned spiritually by actually residing in the geographical area called Vrindavan, because it is directly the spiritual world. At the same time, in order to understand where we are living in truth, that calls for a very devotional attitude. Then only we can really understand what Vrindavan is. Otherwise, we will just see the externals, the rickshawalas and the monkeys and everything else that we see around us. But the real Vrindavan is something quite unique. Any other questions? Yes, Mike, please. Yeah. I beg your pardon? The question is whether these words were spoken by Uddhav and not Shukadev. Well, Shukadev is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj, but the conversation that Shukadev Maharaj is narrating is between Uddhav and Vidur. So it is Uddhav's words to Vidur that Shukadev Goswami is repeating.
I just want to add to your explanation about really seeing really Vrindavan, that in one song Narottam Das Thakur is singing Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Shudahabe Mana Kabe Herabo Shri
Kabe Hama Herabo Shri
Vrindavan. So when we give up our propensity to enjoy. Satisfying our senses, and we really want to satisfy senses of Krishna,
yes,
then we can, with purifying mind, we can see Shri Vrindavan.
Yes, thank you. It's very important. To be pure means to be free from desires for sense gratification. Only when the mind is completely free from sense gratification can we really see Vrindavan. We understand the real Vrindavan. Yes, I am the Prabhu. Can give the mic.
We understand that the Kaishora age starts from the age of 10. To 15.
Mm-hmm.
Paugunda is from like 5 to 10, and Kumara is from birth to like five years old. You know, so when we hear how Krishna was dancing the Maharas at the age of 8, Radharani was about 7, and the younger gopis even than that, Manjaris were even younger. So it appears that we might draw the conclusion that Krishna was in his Paugunda age when he was dancing with the gopis, not the Kaishora age. So can you solve the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a previous class we had discussed this. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has clarified this. And his comments are also quoted in one purport in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When Krishna, after killing Kamsa, approaches his parents, and in the verse there it is described that Krishna is lamenting to his parents that I am so unfortunate that I could only give you pain. You could not enjoy my childhood pastimes, my boyhood pastimes, and my adolescent pastimes. Even Kaishora you could not enjoy. Now Krishna was 10 years and 7 months old when he came to Mathura. So he should have been ordinarily just beginning his Kaishora age. So why did he say that you did not enjoy my Kaishora pastimes? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur resolves this by saying that Krishna matures faster, 1.5 times faster than the people of this world, even up to the point of Kaishora. Of course, after Kaishora, as we discussed, he doesn't age anymore. So therefore, ordinarily his Kaumara, childhood, should have got over by the age of 5, but actually it got over at the age of 3 years and 4 months. And then he moved into Pauganda, not at the age of 5, but at the age of 3 years and 4 months. And then his Pauganda ordinarily should have got over at the age of 10, but it got over at the age of 6 years and 8 months. So ordinarily what takes 5 years, Krishna did in 3 years and 4 months. So his Kaishora age began at 6 years and 8 months. And then his Kaishora began, or rather ended, at the age of 10. And he remains at that stage. So from 6 years and 8 months to 10 years, that is his Kaishora age. And he reaches that and remains eternally like that, always.
I was under the impression from my studies is that there's 4 ages. That there's the Kumara, Paugandha, Kaishor, and Yovanam.
Right.
So as far as I understood, in Braja he doesn't go beyond Kaishora, but when he moves on to Mathura and Dwarka, then he's in his Yovanam age, not in his Kaishora age any longer.
Yeah, but since we are discussing Vrindavan,
yeah, so
in Vrindavan he never ages
doesn't go beyond Kaishora in Braja.
Yeah. Elsewhere also Srila Prabhupada comments that Krishna just looks like a fresh youth of 16 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Sometimes he says 15 years or 16 years. But we should know then that if Krishna looks like 15, that means he's actually 10, but he looks like 15. It's like that. But yes, when Krishna was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, then he looked like that. Prabhupada mentions in one place, he looked like he was a fresh youth of 16 or 20 years old.
So he was in his Yovanam period at that time, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
When it says Nava Yovanam Cha, it refers to the...
Nava Yovanam is Kaishora.
Nava Yovanam means,
yes,
means it is the...
Kaishora.
Just prior to, or, yes, or entering into the Yovanam.
Pre-youth or fresh youth.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not quite Yovanam.
Yeah.
So it's a little before that.
Yeah, okay.
So Krishna's Kaishora was from 6 years of, and 8 months to 10 years. He stayed for another 7 months in Vrindavan, and from 10 years and 7 months then he went to Mathura, lived there till the age of 28, and then again went to Dwarka and lived there for another approximately 100 years. Of course in between he went to Hastinapur and many other places, but that's how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.